Blog Talk Radio.
Naked Shamanism. Welcome to With Insights Radio. I'm your host, Eddie Garcia. I will take you on a journey across the universe through shamanism, metaphysical, and holistic. So sit back and relax.
Oh,
and
my
enjoy the show.
God, it's been so long since I've been online on live stream. And I want to apologize to everybody for not being on a regular basis on the live stream, but I had to, like, figure out how to reconfigure my phone a little bit. My phone was doing some crazy stuff, wouldn't let me do that. So I think I figured it out. I think I'm there. I think we got it. But for those of you who listen to the show from time to time, you know, I do apologize for being lost in the shuffle. But it's here today. But so I want to welcome everybody to Iggy Garcia Live, episode 29, Just Play. Today we're going to talk a little bit about just having fun and just being ourselves, and how we can be, you know, childlike versus childish, you know, in the sense of, you know, just being ourselves. But first of all, I already lit a candle. I lit a candle here for those souls, forgotten people who sometimes society forgets about, and, you know, just those brothers and sisters who transition and die and move on to the next dimension, and no one ever sees them or knows about them. So I want to give some prayers and lift up their souls and spirits wherever that goes, and burn a little Palo Santo just to kind of get everything, get this show rolling in the right direction. Very good. I love this stuff. Palo Santo. Saints stick. There you go. Just kind of get the energy flowing here a little bit. Hello, Jane. How are you? Or is that Jeannie? I'm sorry, I can't see that. Welcome, everybody, to the show. Just acknowledging people who've passed away, who society's forgotten about, and just remembering those, because a lot of people die, you know, and they don't have family, or they've been lost, or been exiled, or, you know, just totally forgotten or abandoned by their family, or they maybe abandoned them. A little Palo Santo, a little tools of the shaman work here that I do. I love the smell of that stuff. It's so powerful. Just to kind of cleanse the air a little bit, just kind of move through. Let that sit there as the show progresses. Well, welcome everybody again. The reason I haven't been on lately is because I haven't been able to figure out my phone, how it works, and I finally figured it out. I had to do some adjusting on the Wi-Fi section, where you just have to change some things. Usually it's just on, you know, your settings. So I just hit it on auto, and it seemed to work, and I'm seeming to be on. So I want to welcome everybody who's watching tonight, and I just wanted to just share what's on my mind, what's going on. I'm not here to dictate anybody's belief system or tell anybody how they should live. But, you know, I'm just kind of what I'm doing, you know, what's going on in my life, and how I can improve that. And I want to welcome Chris, Jamal, and everybody who's popping in and out, and David. Welcome, everybody. And, you know, it's, we got some cool things coming up this weekend. We have 1,000 Drummers, the Gathering of 1,000 Drummers and Dancers, which is Sunday. And it starts at 11 till about 5 p.m. And we hope to get at least 500-600. I mean, one day we'll get 1,000. But, you know, it's still a lot of people drumming in one spot. And over the course of that, you know, those hours, it's a lot of fun to sit there and be with everybody and just be in that communion and share that spirit and share that gift of just, you know, being human. and having that experience together, it's pretty powerful, pretty amazing, and pretty fun. And that's kind of what the topic is today, is just play. And, you know, Sunday is about just playing and having a good time and letting loose and cutting loose and not worry about, you know, what's happened, what's going on, and where we're going to be. Because in that particular moment, we're all going to be together. We're all going to be gathering. We're all going to be doing the things that are, you know, calls to our spirit to drum, dance, sing, whatever it is we're going to do on Sunday. And it's kind of like our big gathering where all the drummers that we know, we invite them. And this is our fifth year. And what's up, my friend? What's up, Jamal? You're back already? West Coast. You're in West Coast. All right. Sounds good. You're still there. Very good. I've got a lot of young people who are actually, you know, who are involved in a lot of stuff we do. And they're exploring. And you know what? I tell you, man. Just play. And that's what this show is about. Just being yourself, number one. Number two, just playing and letting go. But also with having a sense of knowing where you're going. You don't want to just play and just randomly not know where you're going. Because that could kind of be kind of a weird situation if you're not careful. But the thing is, what I want to talk about is, you know, a lot of us, especially us who are, you know, way past into our 40s and 50s, some of us had the opportunity to go see and travel and be part of things and be part of movements and stuff. And, you know, I remember when I was in my 20s, and I remember the idea that I had in my head of what I wanted to do for my life and where I wanted to go with that. But I came from a very strict family, a very, you know, parochial, very, you know, this is what you should do, this is how you should do it, because if you don't do it, you know, we don't know what's going to happen to you. Granted, I get that. But, you know, there was a time where I just wanted to put on a backpack and just hit it. And just hit every state or go across country. I don't know what I was going to do, but, you know, that's what I wanted to do. That was one of my dreams, and that was one of my goals. And you know what I did? I didn't do that. I did not do that. I didn't get into that place where I was confident enough to just go and explore and be, you know, whoever I needed to be. Now, granted, there are a lot of you who've done that, and there's a lot of you now who I've met and who have also asked for blessings and stuff to, you know, help on their journey. And I don't regret that I didn't. I regret, and I don't regret, you know, at the same time. Because in the process, you know, I met someone, we had children, and, you know, we had a good time. And we enjoyed, you know, raising a family. Now our kids are raising their family. But I always encourage my kids just to do it. But they never really did it. But I wish that, you know, my dad or my mom just said, yeah, just go. You know, if you need anything, we'll help you out, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But that didn't happen. But there is a piece of me that's always wondered what that life would have been like. But now that I'm in my 50, well, actually, I am 50. I'm 50 now. You know, I find other ways to play, other ways to do things, other ways to, you know, be involved and do things. I do drumming. I do my medicine work. You know, I volunteer. I help. I do all kinds of stuff. I play sports. And so, and the work I do is very powerful. In the work with sound healing and drumming, I find a new way. But I always encourage people to just, you know, if you're going to go do it, do it. Just go enjoy life, because, you know, life is very short. Life, there's no guarantees in life that tomorrow will be granted to you, or the next breath you'll take is granted to you. And, you know, that's a very powerful message, because that's what someone told me once. You know, you're not guaranteed your next breath. You know, I could die right here on the air, you know, on my next breath. But that's, hopefully it doesn't happen, but that's how life is. Life is very fragile. Life is very, very, very fragile. We are only here for a short period of time. You know, just think of the trillions and trillions, you know, of combinations that had to take place for you to be born, for me to be born, for everybody who is alive on this planet. Trillions and trillions of combinations, you know, with eggs and sperm to come to that unification, boom, and create you and create me. And that's pretty magical. That's pretty powerful. You know, take aside all the things that, you know, maybe, you know, life's not great, you know, someone died, someone committed suicide. I take that all out. But the point is, to create us was a divine intervention. There was a divine magic there. There was something that brought that sperm and that egg together, boom, and caused that big bang inside, you know, our mother. You know, and that is one in a trillion that you are alive, that you're here. And one in a trillion. And then, you know what? And when you think about it in the scheme of the number of how old the planet is and our existence as human beings, we're really, some of us maybe will live to 80, some if we're fortunate enough, some of us not so fortunate. But, you know, the thing is, when you start to think about that, you start thinking about that numbers, we're only here maybe for 1 minute. Maybe it's a minute in the scheme of life. You know, in the scheme of life, 1 minute. You know, in the big timeline of life, that's pretty crazy. That's why, you know, I always encourage people to, you know, remember, you know, I'm a miracle. And not everybody believes it, and that's fine. But those of us who do believe that we're miracles, and that's, granted, that's awesome. But it is a miracle. It is a miracle. And think of all the people who have not been born. There are gazillions of people who are waiting to come through the threshold and come into this place, come to this earth, and to manifest. And some of them will never will. You know, if it was 1 second earlier or 1 second later, we may have not been born. You know, and that's crazy to think about. You know, if it's just a matter of seconds, in a matter of moments, then that decision, where my parents, for example, you know, if something, they've got interrupted or something happened or they just didn't do it, you know, I may not have been where I am today. Like the lightning bolt on Flash, you know, on my shirt, like I'm wearing today. And that's kind of crazy to think about. That's kind of like really powerful to think about that, you know, and just a slight, you know, 1/10 of a second, 1 second, you know, whatever. You know, there was the consummation of the egg and sperm came together in just that one decision in that one moment. That's why for me, moments are very, very special and very, very powerful. Like this moment right now on the air is the most important. That's it. There's nothing else that I can be thinking about or doing except being with you guys. Those of you who are, you know, staying here and listening. I know it's late. Some of you will be listening to a show later, but later. But that's what's so powerful about being in the moment, is that it's ours. And it's right here. And it's for us to experience it however we want to experience. But we're all miracles. Granted, if your life sucks, if your life's great, awesome, it doesn't matter. You're still a miracle. It's a miracle you're here. It's a miracle that you've made it. And it's a miracle that you made it this far. And there's more to go. And there's more to do. There's more to see. So the topic is just play. All right, so many of us grow up through life, you know, learning from who else? Our parents. Our parents teach us a foundation and something to us for to guide us and lead us. And then, you know, but the system also teaches them. Some kids are designed to go to school. Some kids are designed to go to trade school. Some kids aren't designed to go to any school except for the school of life. And, you know, for them, that serves them. For others, not so much. I'm not here to, you know, support any system that works. You know, you have to find the system that works for you. Because if you're waiting for other people to tell you what to do, they're going to tell you from their experience and from their memory what worked for them. And it doesn't always make sense. It's like trying to wear somebody else's shoes, even though they may be a size 8 and you're a size 8. Those shoes will never fit you properly. Those shoes will, they'll be shoes, but they are wear and tear on the shoe. That, you know, some of them are on this level, the heel's gone, blah, 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 you know. Use your imagination. You know, when you wear someone else's shoes, it's not always the most comfortable thing. And I know it's a metaphor, and I understand it's an analogy. But that's what they say when you walk in somebody else's shoes. And that can be very difficult. Of course it can be difficult. Absolutely can be. Even wearing shoes that, you know, are uncomfortable. You know, like for me, I don't wear sandals. I just don't like them. You know, everybody's like, oh, you should wear sandals, man. They're pretty cool. I don't get any. They just don't feel good on my feet. Now, I wear my, you know, my Adidas and, you know, and just, you know, my tube, my socks. You know, not tube socks, but, you know, the little crew cut socks. And I'm comfortable like that. That's kind of how I am. So, especially for young people who are listening, and especially for those of us who are older who are still trying to figure out where we're going, here's the thing. We're not going anywhere. We're already here. Where you go from here is up to you. It's never too late to get started. So that's the old myth that, you know, we're too old to learn. We're too old to do this or that. You know, we may be physically tired. We may not be able to, you know, do the things we used to do when we were 20. But, you know, some of us, you know, that old saying, some of us would say, you know, if I had the body that I have now and the wisdom that I've gained now, you know, I could just tear it up. But, you know, it's never too late. It's never too late to play. It's never too late to just go and have fun and have a good time. And for those of you, especially who are older and in my age, you know, I encourage you to start to do things. You know, a lot of us call it the bucket list. You know, and I hate that bucket list thing. You know, why wait for a bucket? And why wait to put something in some in things that you want to do? Because we sell out. We sell out to the system. We sell out, and we sell out our time. We sell our feelings, our emotions to other people in order for us to make a buck. And I'm not here to say you just quit and don't do anything. But what I'm saying here is live. And you may say, well, Iggy, I do live. I'm having a great time. Then great. Fine. I'm not here to change you. I'm not here to move you. I'm just here to express something. You know, you want to play drums and you want to start drum circles like I do and some of my other friends do. Why don't you do it? Oh, I don't know how to do it. You know, I didn't know how to do it. I just got a bunch of friends together and we just started drumming. And the next thing you know, now we have this huge group of people that just come and drum with us all the time. Why? Because somebody stepped out. Somebody went out of their way to say, hey, we're going to do something different. We're going to do something really fun and very exciting. And, you know, that's how our drum circle group started. The Condor Eagle Drummers. That's how we started doing our events. Because we decided that we wanted to do something. We wanted to be involved with something. And we weren't going to wait for somebody else to do it. See, that's the thing. A lot of people wait for somebody else to create something. We are all constantly creating. We're creation creatures. We like to create. We like to make and build. That's why we paint. We sing. We dance. Music. Art. We're so gifted in those areas. Some of us more than others. So what I'm saying is just play. Play, and have fun. There is a sense of responsibility. Yeah, we have to take care of ourselves. We have to eat. We have to, you know, work to in order to nourish us and be able to take care of ourselves. But the thing is, we don't always have to be uptight. We don't always have to be angry. And we don't always have to be frustrated that somebody else's life is better than our life. Nobody's life is better than anybody's life. It just perceived and looks that way. You know, the person who maybe has less things might be very super happy than the person who has, you know, billions of dollars. Yeah, their bills are paid and they're able to pay things, but they have a bigger responsibility with all that money. What happens to it, where it goes, you know, how they're going to shelter it, how it's going to be taken care of. Now, the person doesn't have any money, you know, they may not have the things that they want to buy, but they're grateful and they're happy and, you know, and they have that. You know, and money, I don't believe, ever made anybody truly happy, except maybe money made them more comfortable and able to do things that they weren't able to do. Money's just energy. Money is just a thing that, you know, is a piece of cotton and linen. It's paper of sort. You know, they call it, it's from a tree, it's from cotton. And we put a lot of emphasis on it. But why do we put emphasis on it? I'll tell you my perceptions on how I see it. Money is just something that we created to work. We used to trade shells, cattle, you know, fruit, food, you know, services. We used to barter. We still barter a little bit. But it was an agreement that we were going to use this set of, you know, materials that we can work from. Now, what happens is, it's energy, right? So our ideas are also energy. Our mind is energy. Our body is energy. So how we manifest what's inside of us to go forward and outward, you know, how we attract more energy to us is the vital point. But if you have not played, if you are frustrated, and if you're locked away in your emotions and feelings, it's hard to move that energy. And so many of us buy into what other people tell us. Oh, you're too old for that. Nah, that's young kid's thing. Oh, no, that time has passed me. Granted, if that's where you want to be, that's fine. But what I'm talking about is energy. It's kind of like playing. Like the money situation. Energy is also, the playing of energy is also energy. You're exchanging. You're sharing. You're going out to the world and you're expressing. So when you're having fun playing, just do it. It doesn't matter if you know, if you fall down, if you can't, you know, do you swing, run fast enough, whatever. Just start little by little. You know, if you want to go hiking across the country and you're 80 years old, do it. Why are you going to wait? But some of us, you know, I mean, included, we just sit there and we watch vicariously through others and how they experience their life. you know, what they're going through. And many of us, you know, wish we had or wish we had done. You know, and that's crazy. There is no wish we had, wish we could, wish we'd done. Okay, wish we could, wish we can, and then we're done. Fine, then move on. Start to find that play. Start to play. Start to do the things that you wanted to do as a young person. Hi, Connie, how are you? And you know, the thing is, if we don't play, then we die. There's a part of us that dies. And we won't, you know, metaphorically we die. Emotionally we die. We put so much emphasis on, you know, that other people are having more fun than us. We have to create our own fun. We have to create what aligns us, what happens. You know, my fun is completely different than maybe a lot of you who are online listening or who will be listening. You know, my fun can be just reading a book. My fun can be just, you know, playing my drum. My fun can be kicking a ball. My fun can just be sitting around doing nothing. But everybody's fun's different. So when you find your play, enjoy it. Don't beat yourself up that, oh, I wish I'd done. I had to do work, blah, blah, blah. You got to play. Because play is also part of, you know, what keeps us young, is what keeps us, you know, energized. It puts vigor back into our spirit, into our soul. You know, for those young people who are out there hiking and they're doing their thing, awesome. But when you come back to the world of sorts, of 3D, whatever you want to call it, when you come back, don't stop playing, just create a new type of play. You know, when it's time to play again, you play. So go out, figure out what aligns you, what you're good at, and what you like. And, you know, find other people who like to play too. There are other people who love playing with, and, you know, they like hanging out with people who like to play. I'm happy and I'm fortunate that I have friends who like to do what I do. Not all the things, but a majority of things that I do, we all are aligned with. And that's what's so cool. We love to play. We like to hang out. We like to go hiking. We like to, you know, see movies. We like to just hang out and just talk, you know, and that's where we're at. And will that change? It could change later. Yes, of course it could change. But that's what is good about, you know, life. That's what's good about doing it. That it's okay to change. It's okay to be different. It's okay to let go. Now, you know, some people say, well, you're always playing all the time. Well, maybe I just find ways to play within the work that I do, in the things that I like and the things that I want to be involved in. Because I find that a person who doesn't play becomes very stiff, becomes very rigid, becomes very, you know, I don't know, just there's a lot of words I can use, but I don't know, I know if I don't play, I become very ungrounded, I become very stiff, become very boring. I become very like, nobody wants to be around me, you know. I don't want to be around myself when I'm down in the pits, you know. And I get there too. I'm like everybody, but I don't like being there very long. It doesn't serve me. It doesn't serve anybody who's around me. That's why I like to play, and that's why I like to have fun, and that's why I like to do the things that I do, because for me it's important. It's important because the work has to be fun. If it's not fun, I make it fun. I find ways to make it fun. Because it's not hard to make something into fun. You know, if you're going to throw the garbage out, there's a way to make it fun. You know, if you're going to clean the house, there's a way to make it fun. And, you know, and being playful is not being childish. Okay? Or childlike. Maybe it's more childlike than childish. Childish can be, that's when you're just misbehaving and just playing out. That's different. But when you want to be childlike, when you want to go back to that energy, into that inner, because we're all kids. We just got a bigger body, older body, smaller body. You know, we grew up. But inside of us is still that young, youthful energy. It's just buried sometimes. So how do we unbury it? Well, number one, we have to step out of our comfort zone. We have to step outside of where we're at, who we hang out with, what we're doing. Because we tend to, you know, take on the personalities and the traits of the people around us. And so if we're doing it or if we're influencing, then we have to be mindful of our feelings, our emotions, and what's happening. Because everything starts in here in our head and translates down into our body, you know. And I find when I play, it keeps me healthy. I mean, me personally. I'm very fortunate that I really don't have any serious ailment. I don't really take any pills or anything. You know, I know people my age who are just on all kinds of crazy stuff. And I just find that, you know, when you can be in a good vibration and good energy, it helps you. It helps you stay in a place that where your body wants to be healthy. Now, granted, I may not have the perfect body, and I'm a little slightly overweight, but I'm happy. I feel good about myself. I feel good about what I look like. I'm not disappointed. You know, it's really where you want to think and where you want to apply those energies. Because I really believe that, you know, a lot of us just, you know, just need a little encouragement. A lot of us just need to be told, you know, it's okay. Just go do it. There's so many people out there who don't want to do it that tell the people not to do it, to not have fun and not to have a good time. Or they tell people to grow up. I still don't know what that means. Just go grow up. You gotta grow up, Biggie. You gotta do it. I'm like, okay. If it means being like you, I want nothing to do with it, okay? Don't take it personal, but, you know, that kind of puts me off a little bit. Anyhow. But, you know, the people who grow up, the people I see who, you know, I see people who've worked so hard for years and then they have nothing to show for. But they have a lot to show for, but they just don't see it because they had expectations. And those expectations weren't met by their whatever the needs they set up. So that's the thinking there. So, you know, when you play, don't make your play work. Make your play something very enjoyable, very fun, something that you will remember and something that you will say, oh, that was awesome. Now, you don't have to do the same type of play over and over. You have to be creative. You have to also use your imagination what play looks like. What it's like to play. Now, if you have a significant other and you want to work with them and play with them, then you guys have to figure it out what's going to work for both of you. But I also find that individual play is important too, especially people who are married. Find something that grounds you, that you play. It doesn't always have to be in alignment with the other person. You don't always have to do what the other person says. That happens a lot with relationships. Everybody thinks that one partner, you have to do everything one partner does or the other partner does. You have to find a common ground in the middle where you guys say, hey, you know what? Today I'm just going to go out and go for a walk. Well, can I go with you? Maybe you just want to go by yourself, you know? And it's important to say, you know, you have to create that boundary and you have to say it precisely in a way that doesn't offend them. It has nothing to do with you, but I just need some time to myself and play in a way that's, you know, conducive to me. You know, sometimes we don't play, you know, well with ourselves, and so how are we going to play well with others? But here's the thing. If you have a significant other in your family, in your life, figure out a way for you guys to play in a way that's healthy, in a way that, you know, both of you can work together, both of you can share. Because a lot of us, you know, won't do things because the other one won't do it. And if the other one doesn't do it, then the other one kind of just, you know, submits. And then just doesn't do anything. Then they become bitter. They become angry. And then when you step out to do something on your own, something that's, you know, unique to you, and they don't want to do it, they get upset sometimes. And that happens. But it's nothing to do with them. It just feels that way. Because they're projecting onto themselves and onto you what they're lacking at that moment. I'm not saying that they're lacking, but at that moment they're lacking some kind of compassion, some kind of empathy about it. Now, when you find somebody that you want to play and have fun with, then you have to kind of figure out that little dance, how you guys are going to dance together, how it's going to be. Because I guarantee you, no matter how long you've been married, no matter how long you've been dating, one of you is always giving up something. One of you is giving up more than you probably even think you are. One of you is actually, you know, saying, yeah, let's go. And then later on, or that moment, man, well, I really don't want to do that, but I'll do that because I love them, because I care about them, and I don't want them to not like me, and I don't want to cause a problem, blah, blah, blah. You know, you're not causing a problem. The problem is you don't talk. You don't open your mouth. You know, hey, I don't like that. Yes, I like that. Sometimes being blunt, you know, is difficult, but if you don't want to do something, you should say something. That's the kind of play I don't want. This is the kind of play I like, and then find a common ground. But that's why I find individual play is very, very, very vital for a healthy, functioning, spiritual, and a body when we know how to play on our own. To explore, you know, to see. When's the last time you went to a movie by yourself versus going to a movie with someone else? Both ways work for me, personally. I like going to movies by myself, and I like going to movies with others. But I find that when I go to a movie by myself, it's kind of cool because it's just me, you know, hanging out with me. And, you know, who better to hang out with than myself? Maybe it looks a little weird sometimes, you know, but I don't necessarily talk to myself. But sometimes, you know, being alone is not a bad thing. And just playing and having a good time. You know, that alone time is very powerful time. That's a time where you can actually do a lot of healing. A lot of work goes on when we're all by ourselves, when we're alone. When we're stepping into a place that, you know, we can recharge our batteries and recharge who we are. You know, because playtime is individual time, sharing time. I love playing. Especially in the work that I do. It's about playing. It's about sharing. You know, when I'm there opening up my bando, my ceremonial mesa, you know, when I'm there sharing, you know, the knowledge that's in my head, I do it in a way which is playful. I do it in a way that's fun. I don't like to be dogmatic about the way I do things. I like to incorporate them in a way that's very unique and very special and very, very rewarding, very enlightening to other people to see. Sometimes we become very dogmatic in our ways. And dogma has its purposes in some things, and some other times not. But in your useful playing, when we're playing, in the shamanic traditions, playing is very important. In singing and dancing, and playing our drums and our rattles, you know, there's a time to be very serious, there's a time to be very focused, and there's a time to just cut loose. You know, my country in Peru, you know, we're about the rhythms and the dancing and the things that we do. And just letting go. And having a great time. And singing is powerful. Drumming is powerful. Dancing is powerful. Oh, I don't know how to dance. Everybody knows how to dance. Everybody has their own voice. Everybody has their own magic. Every human being. There's not one human being on this planet who does not have a gift for this planet, gift for the humanity, gift for the next person. We're not here just to be. We will influence somebody, something, someone, ourselves. So when you're here on this planet, don't feel that you're not important, because you are important. You're very powerful. You're very important. You are a magical being. The time that you're here, well, that's to be determined. But when you're here, it may be 50 years, maybe 100 years, it may be 2 weeks, you know, you maybe be stillborn, but you're here. You're here. And we all, in some way, touch someone else. You know, the baby who's not born, touches a mother and a father in a way that only those people can feel. And it causes something inside of them to see life much different. You know, if someone who's 100 years old, and passes away, we always say, well, they lived a great life. They lived a long time. So then we're not so sad. But what we miss is, and what we're sad about, are the things that we won't be doing again. And what we miss about that child who wasn't born is the things that we couldn't share with that child. You know, those memories we didn't create. Because we truly only have our memories, our experiences. Because yesterday's gone. And the moment is here. And when we move from the moment, we moved into the future. And the future becomes the moment. So the moment is the most powerful. Right now, the moment. The moment is here. You know, some people call it the now. Okay, N-O-W. And that now is, I've won. W-O-N. Just turn now around. And I won. I've won because I accepted it and I, you know, I'm here. I won it. I won the moment. But for a lot of us, it's hard to see the moment. You know, I know there's a lot of you out there who go and struggle with bills and all kinds of things, and then you're going, and then that's what preoccupies you. That's what preoccupies you. And I want to say hi to everybody who's on there. Everybody who's listening, I really appreciate you. Now, life was simpler at one time, and we had different purposes and different understandings of how we're going to live. But we still carry those chemicals in our body. You know, when we were cavemen, for example, we had to fend for ourselves in a much different way. We would gather nuts. We would gather food. You know, we would go out and hunting into some capacity. But we had a keen smell. We could smell the lion in the woods. We know the predators because we didn't necessarily bathe. So we all had our own unique, you know, scent. And we also had that intuition. Very keen. And we could see things. But we also had the vision. We see in technicolor. We see color. Most animals don't see color. Why do we see in color? So we could distinguish from the black and white, and we could find the predators that are hidden within the foliage, within the landscape. That's why our color and we have color. There is so much that we don't use anymore. So much that we've lost, so much that we just have turned off, so much that we've oppressed and just pushed down, you know, through belief systems, through, you know, religions, and through, you know, domination and slavery and all kinds of different things that we're starting to come into this new shift. And this shift is nothing new. It's just shifting quicker and faster. We're starting to text, number one. I'm going to give you an example, texting. A lot of people text on their phones, right? And then there are a lot of people who don't talk on the phone, but they text. And I find that really interesting. I find that really interesting because it's a form of telepathy in some ways. It's a form of communication, nonverbal communication. Wouldn't it be just easier to go on a three-way call with a bunch of people and just talk on the phone? But most people don't like to talk on the phone. There are some of us who do. But the majority of people like to text. I see people walking down the street texting. I see people crossing the street texting. I've seen people driving texting. Not cool. Okay, but it's a form of telepathy. It's a form of going back to talking to somebody without the spoken word. These are things that we used to do naturally. We could talk to each other by looking at each other's eyes, by an expression of movement. Because that's how we had to survive as cave people. That's how we had to survive as indigenous people out in the wild. That's how we had to survive and protect ourselves. We had to say something, sometimes nothing, or we would be found. Because remember, us humans, we are not the top of the food chain. We happen to be on the top of the food chain now because we have guns and houses and cars and weapons and you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. But there was a time, and there's still a time, and we are prey. We are so vulnerable. Our children are born. We have to fend for them. We have to take care of them. We have to nourish them and feed them. Most animals in the animal kingdom are ready to pop out. And when they pop out, they're ready to move and go because, you know what? They become food very quickly. Same with us. We still have to take care of our young just don't come out of the female and just start walking and, you know, nursing and eating, you know. But see, as human beings, we still have all those chemicals in our body in order, that flight response, so in order to protect ourselves. So when we see the lion, we run, boom, and we go hide. But what happens is, and here's what happens, those chemicals that are still in us are triggered very quickly and very easily. Life is a little more different when man had to just gather and sit around and not do much. There was no TV, there was no internet, there was no nothing. There was just communication and surviving the winter, surviving life, and just making it through and procreating. Life was very different. But now, take those same chemicals as we grow, you know, as a society. If we get triggered or angry at any given moment, we send off all those same chemicals into our body that we would do if we had to run from a predator or if we were angry. But then what happens is our body doesn't know what to do with all these chemicals because we're very sedentary and we just sit around. We sit around a lot more than you think. In our cars, at our computers, at our TVs. I don't care if you walk 5-10 miles a day, that's still a sedentary life compared to how we had to live a long time ago. If you're a jogger or you're an exerciser, awesome, it's great, but you still live the sedentary life. You still have to do certain things that our ancestors didn't have to do. But those chemicals in our body doesn't know what to do with it. So what happens is it stores it into our body. It stores it into the fat cells. It stores it, and you know, it just doesn't know what to do. And then we just carry it. All this weight is just from stress and inflammation. We're constantly inflamed. We're constantly, you know, stressed out. The smallest thing can stress our body out and cause triggers and to release chemicals in our body. But for a lot of us, you know, we just don't know what to do. How we get rid of it. And that's why play is important. You know, play is important because we can release chemicals. We can push things out of our body. We will eat and drink more water when we play. When you're playing, you have more fun. You drink more water. You eat the right things. You're not necessarily as hungry as you used to be. So, play, my friends. Have a great time playing. And play is valuable. Play will create and release endorphins into your body. Create things in your system that you aren't necessarily have. But, you know, just enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy because life is short. Life is short. And you don't want to have any. You don't want to go back. You don't want to be in your deathbed going, oh, I wish I'd played more. Why wait? Why wait till that day? You know, I would rather be a poor man playing than a rich man dying any day. A rich man who doesn't care, who just can't live and just totally stressed out. I'd rather be poor and enjoying life, the fruits and the benefits of life. Why? Because life is about life. That's why it's called life. We appreciate it. But a lot of us don't appreciate life because we've been taught and we've learned that we had to make a living. And that's fine. Livings are fine. I'm not here to discount livings. I'm not here to tell anybody that you shouldn't go work. But find time for yourself. Find time to be with those that you love. And if they don't have time for you, then just go do your thing. Do your thing, because if you don't do your thing, you're never going to be happy. You're always going to have regrets. Because like I said earlier, we're not guaranteed our next breath. You know, tomorrow this might be my last episode. I hope not. But you never know. I'm sure that people wake up every day and go to sleep and they wonder, you know. A lot of us have friends who've done that, who've gone to sleep and never woke up again. And they're gone. And they're gone. So play will help with the stress. Play will keep you from getting too bogged down with life. And you know, even if you lost everything and everything got taken from you, you know, it could be a blessing. It could be a blessing. I'll tell you one thing. Things are just things. I mean, they rot, they spoil, they go the wayside. I got a lot of stuff. You know, I mean, once the day I transition, I'm sure this stuff, some things will be taken, my kids will take some things, and some things will be in the thrift store. But what's really cool about the things that I do today, and this is how I play, my grandkids and their kids will always have these videos to watch and wonder what I was like. And wonder what great-grandpa was, you know, great-great-great-grandpa Iggy was like. And why they are the kind of like the way they are. You know, we leave legacies in different ways. We leave legacies in ways that are very unique to us. You know, what kind of legacy are you leaving for the world? What kind of legacy are you leaving for your grandkids, your children, if you have any? And if you don't, what kind of legacy do you live for, you know, the people around you? The animals around you? But we're on a verge right now of doing some amazing things with the things in front of us. A lot of us, you know, we use Facebook to protest. A lot of us use Facebook to share. A lot of us use Facebook to connect. And these are awesome. Because this is the new way how we are living now. You know, the Mayan prophecy talked about how time would accelerate and how communication would accelerate. Well, communication has accelerated and has grown. A lot of us, when you know, the Mayan calendar hit, you know, that click on the clock, a lot of us were like, oh, but nothing happened. Yeah, lots happened. Lots been going on. You just watch the news. Watch your Facebook feeds. Talk to your friends. A lot has happened. My God. You know, there was a time where if you wanted to have your own radio show and you wanted to have your own show, it cost you a lot of freaking money. You know, look now. I have my own podcasting events that I do twice a month, my own personal one. You know, and now I have my own, you know, station with insightsradio.com, which I have other DJs on there, other hosts on there. You know, could you imagine? I remember the day when I walked into one of those stores, when ham radio stores, where they were selling ham radios and equipment for, you know, FM band sales and stuff. And I'm thinking, I was excited. And I tell you, I was very, very, very excited. And I walked up to the guy and I said, so what would it take for me to, you know, I'm like 18, you know, what would it take for me to do a radio station and, you know, broadcast? And the guy looked at me and he just laughed. Him and his buddy were laughing. Hi, whatever. Not, you don't have enough money for that. He already judged me. He judged me before he'd even know. You know, he already prejudged me. And I tell you, that crushed me. Because, you know, I really wanted to do that. That's something I wanted to do. We didn't have this, you know, back then. We didn't have all this technology we have now. Technology, you know, has advanced in ways that are beneficial, and sometimes it's not beneficial. But for me, it's been beneficial. But I remember that. I remember being 18 years old and being in that freaking store, and that guy just laughing with his buddy at me about, you know, they showed me the equipment is real expensive. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, later on in life, now my platform is here, you know, online. My platform is on, you know, Spreaker, Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And, you know, I'm not stuck to just, you know, FM band. You know, I'm not stuck to FM. I'm actually worldwide. My show goes all over the world. You know, so that's the funny thing. My show is internet-based, but it's everywhere. It travels into the universe and goes, God knows, some alien race is probably listening to our show and going, what the heck are they saying? But anyhow. But it's funny, you know, how life is, you know, when that's the acceleration. That's the acceleration that, you know, happens. You know, and one day we're not all going to be here. One day this will not exist. We won't exist anymore. Humanity will evolve and change into another existence, as it always has. And I hope that they understand when they watch these videos, when they watch YouTubes, and when they watch the things that we do, when they open up our burial mounds, which are those big, huge things that are outside of the outskirts of our cities. Excuse me. You know, our landfills are our mounds. You know, someday someone will dig up those mounds and say, these were very wasteful people. My God, what did they do? What were they doing? What were they thinking? There's so much of this and so much of that in here. What was the purpose? Because as deep as you go, that stuff doesn't decompose, doesn't just break down. You know, it becomes very, you know, locked in there. And when they start digging in there and they start seeing that, because some of these things go deep, 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 deep. I mean, feet down, because when I used to haul my hauling business, I used to send that stuff and have to dump it down there. And those are our mounds. That is our history. Those are the things that will be found after we're no longer here. Just like all the indigenous cultures before us who thought that they were going to live forever and they thought they were going to be here forever, they left a recorded history. They left a recorded memoirs in their lands within the earth. Some were burial sites and some are, you know, mounds, Native American mounds. You see the mounds. And inside these things, some are ceremonial, some are burial. But ours is a history of who we were. Ours will be a history of what would be. and what we could have been and what we should have been. Ours will be a history of how we didn't use the resources that were given to us naturally by spirit, naturally by the universe. But yet we had to pump out of the ground the blood of the earth, pump from her, her blood, in order for us, for our survival, the petroleum. Yet we had the power of the sun, the power of the wind, power of water. And we do use that, but not to the extent that we should. Now, petroleum is one of the... we just take dead things from the ground and we want to make things from it. You know, that's down there for a purpose. That's down there because it's there to rest. And it's given all it has given. Now, there are people who've created cars that work on water, on H2O. There's so much power in a cube of water. You know, they could just, you know, can just power cities. But we don't do it because we're so entrapped in this, we have to have and we have to control and we have to make money. And you know, one day we'll look back, you know, and go, when it's the last, our last hurrah, we'll look back and go, wow, we could have done things differently, but our ancestors chose not to. And so who are the ancestors right now? We are. We are the ancestors. We are the ones, their ancestors for the future. We are using the land that belongs to the next generation and how we are abusing that. We are responsible for what legacies we leave for our generations, for our grandchildren, for example. That's the word they use, our grandchildren. It's only on loan to us. We're borrowing it from them. So if we're using it now, what do we give back to them? So let's say, for example, we use up all the fossil fuels. If we're using up all the fossil fuels, well, then what's left for the next generation? Is man just trying to figure out a way to harness the wind, harness the sun, and then figure out a way to charge their brother and their sister? Absolutely. They're trying to figure out a way so they will benefit these big corporations. You know, for a lot of you probably didn't know this, but I went to North Dakota. I was there. I stood there. I was there for 7 days. And, you know, I learned a lot. I learned a lot about humanity. And what I learned was that we're all in this together. It doesn't matter. You know, now it's gone. It's a quiet rebellion. And if it's not mainstream, you'll never know about it. There are people still fighting for those rights, for clean water. But you know what? In the end, the money won for now. Just for now. But we're all alike. As I sat there, I watched and I learned and I saw even the indigenous people, you know, had their issues they had to deal with amongst each other. You know, it wasn't just everybody hurrah, hurrah, hey, hey, we're all together in this. There was a lot of unseen things. Because man is man. Human is human. And, you know, unfortunately, some of us just look out for ourselves and not everybody. But there are others who do. They do. This is my flash shirt. But, you know, people stood up. People stood up because that day there was a need for that. There will always be a need for people to stand up. We don't always have to understand why others stand up. And we don't always have to be angry or align ourselves with that. Some of us stand up because others aren't able to, not willing to, or may not understand. A lot of it may be that people don't understand. I find that a lot of people don't protest, a lot of people don't do things because they just don't understand and they don't quite And they're not born with it. Some people are not born to do that. So we can't be upset with people who don't represent or don't stand up or don't fight. Some people don't have the predisposition to do that. Some people don't have that in their system, in their soul, in their spirit to do that. There are others who are warriors. There are others who are just able to do that. And then there are other ones who are just, you know, gifted with, you know, being indifferent. Others gifted with being peaceful and being peacemakers. It's just as powerful and it's just as strong to be a peacemaker and much more disciplined to be a peacemaker. Because you have to look at things from many angles. In a warrior mind, sometimes we just go one direction. And a warrior has to stand strong and has to defend things in a way, and then they get themselves landlocked into an ideology. But a peacemaker has to find the balance within everything around it, so around the people who are, you know, engaged in this. But, you know, being human is also being flawed. And there is perfection in the imperfection of who we are as human beings. You know, I don't strive to be perfect because that's an unobtainable thing. I know that I'm not perfect. I was already born imperfect. And I'm okay with that. I'm happy with who I am. But it took a long time to be happy with the aspects of myself. And, you know, as we were talking in the beginning of the show, and I gave homage to those who were forgotten, those who died without, you know, ceremony, those who died without anybody knowing what happened to them, where they're at. A lot of us die metaphorically, you know, in our bodies, in our minds. A lot of us die from the neck up. You know, we shut off. So what I'm here to remind you is, just play. Have fun. Have fun with life, because life is fun. Life can be whatever you want to make it. It's going to take some work. For some of us, it comes very naturally and becomes very fluid. And for others, not so much. We all have a journey and we're all on it together. It doesn't matter if we've never met the other person on the other side of the planet. But we're all on this path together at this specific time. We're all working together. We're all manifesting together. And that manifestation is very powerful. But we're all connected. We're all connected through air, through water, to communication, nonverbal communication. We're all there. So I encourage you just to go out, have a good time, and play. Invite somebody to play. Invite somebody to be there with you. Invite somebody to experience life in a way that only you can experience it. Because we only truly have this moment, and this moment that we have is very valuable. All right. Well, I love you guys dearly. Thank you very much for being on the show. And, you know, the next show will be Garcia Live, episode 30. And that will be next month, the first week of next month. Like I said, I have two shows monthly. And just thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to my experiences, how I see life, how I move through it, navigate through it. And it's very unique to myself. But those of you who need a little more encouragement, a little more help, and a little more, you know, direction, a little path, don't hesitate to, you know, get a hold of me at eddiegarcia.com, you know, here on Facebook, on Instagram, on Twitter. Just reach out. Just reach out and just have fun. And you want someone to go have fun with? Get a hold of me. We can figure it out. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate your emails that you send me. I appreciate everything that you know that you just do. I'm just glad that you're in my life. I'm really grateful and thankful for that. Until next time, I'll talk to you guys later. Be well. Sleep well. Thanks for staying up late with me. And I'll see you soon. We'll see everybody at the Gathering of 1,000 Drummers this weekend. And in Columbus, Ohio, at Scioto Autobahn. That's it's a park downtown. Be well. Ho'oponopono, much love. Irisikwi, oho. Matuakiasin, all of the above. Sleep well. Sweet dreams. I'll talk to you guys soon.